All right, and we're going to hit on several things. As you know, what we're doing now is on a Monday night revival devotion, we are simply recapping the great things that have been taking place in the last weekend, since the last devotion we did on Thursday. And on Thursday, we're recapping what happened from Monday to Thursday. So we're going to recap right now what happened since Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's been a busy weekend. And if everyone, you've noticed, we've had some very busy weeks here in the last several weeks because we are all working together. We're working together in this spirit of revival that's taking place, and that's what we're going to be talking about. And I'm going to begin with what took place on Friday. Everyone, I am thankful, I am grateful that I was able to go up to Stockton early Saturday morning to a funeral with to Elder Paul Price's funeral that took place there on that Friday. I actually drove up there with Brother Jeff Baker. We were able to drive together there and got there in about right over six hours it took to get there. And we got there right before the service took place. But what a service. What a service. And many of you know the name Paul Price. Some of you were able to see him, hear him preach and teach live, you know, be there at the service while he was teaching, preaching. Many of you have heard recorded messages. We've actually played many of his messages in the last few months. And there's something very unique, something very special about Elder Paul Price. And we heard that recounted many times from many of the people, many of the men and women that spoke at the funeral service on Friday. And I'm just going to talk about a few different things that were said about Elder Paul Price at that funeral service. And I'm going to go ahead and take a time right now to tell you something personal. I'm actually looking at my notes. I didn't plan on doing this, but I took notes there, and I found them here. Well, I'm going to get into that in just a moment. First of all, I'm going to begin with my own personal experience, and this is all going to tie into what we're going to be talking about here in just a moment, but I remember as a kid, as a young person, and I've recounted this to the church more than one occasion, but I remember going to senior youth camps, Santa Maria. You know, we used to have the senior youth camp, and we'd hear these great men of God come and preach messages in the evening services. And boy, what messages we heard, what powerful messages. There was anointing, and there was just powerful messages that we heard in the evening services. But I'll be very honest with you, everyone. I couldn't really tell you the names or the titles of those messages. I couldn't really tell you what those messages were about, with maybe the exception of two or three messages during those years. I just couldn't tell you. There was a lot of emotion, a lot of excitement, a lot of anointing, but I couldn't tell you what they were. It's been a while, but I can tell you this. I still remember the messages, the teaching, the lessons that were given in the morning sessions of these senior youth camp weeks there in Santa Maria. Let me explain what I'm talking about. There we were going to sleep at 1, 2 in the morning in these services. And I remember them waking us up at, you know, 6, 7, 7:30 in the morning, taking a shower, going to get some breakfast, putting some food in us. And I remember going at, you know, 8:39 a.m. to the morning teaching session. And you could see all these young people, you know, groggy, half asleep, barely awake, crawling into that sanctuary. But I still remember the first time, everybody, sitting down in that morning session and watching an older gentleman. He could have been our grandpa. He was an older gentleman coming up to the podium, to the pulpit. But I still remember, as soon as he made contact with that microphone, what came out of him, not just his voice, but it was his spirit. It was that urgency. It was that something special that came out of his voice, out of his mouth, but out of his spirit, out of his whole persona. There was something that started to come out of that man's voice that grabbed your attention. It commanded your attention. It demanded your attention. Immediately, I understood this man has something special, and he has something special to give me, and I need to make sure that I grab a hold of every word that he's giving to me. I still remember that feeling. I remember that emotion and that hunger and that spark coming out of me as soon as he began to speak to us. I still remember some of the lessons that he talked about. It was doctrine. He was mainly teaching doctrinal what he was giving us, doctrinal message about the oneness, about the message of salvation, about holiness. And, and think about what I'm talking about. These are young people that he's talking to. And why would this be of interest to us? I mean, come on, we just came out of a fiery sermon preached the night before. But I couldn't tell you what that was about. But I could tell you what this man, Paul Price, was delivering to us with such an urgency, with a need to make sure that he connected with young people that were two, three generations younger than him. But I can tell you now that I understand what the reason for the urgency was, and that is this. He knew that he was older. He would be passing off the scene soon. But he understood that he needed to pass this baton, pass this torch to the next generations. That's what was important to him. It wasn't important to him to make sure that he delivered this florid message with flowery words, with eloquence and you know, sounding all nice and fancy. None of that. He was all about the business, and I say that respectfully, everybody. He needed anointing, just saying this to you. He needed to make sure that he was effective in his delivery of this message, to make sure that we received the core principles of salvation, of holiness, of the building blocks to building a good church, and to be able to be good workers in a church under our pastor. Everybody, I hope you're feeling the same urgency that I'm giving this to you, just as he gave it to us. This is the man, Paul Price, that we're talking about. And I hope you don't take this the wrong way. We're not here to just glorify a man and, you know, pump up the figure of a man. No. It was his burden, his heart, his love, his desire. And one of the things that he talked about, and I still remember throughout his messages, he would always talk about something: loving Jesus. Hallelujah. He would stop the message and say, "I just love Jesus. Hallelujah. I just love Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus." He would implore us. He would exhort us. Make sure you learn to fall in love with Jesus. You got to have a relationship with Jesus. You got to love Jesus. He would always interlace his message with these sub things throughout his teaching, throughout his preaching, everybody. Hallelujah. And if I can remember one thing about Paul Price, when I think of the name of Paul Price, I think of loving Jesus, getting to know Jesus, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And actually, that was one of the slogans, one of the themes at the funeral on Friday: that I may know him, period, period, period. Okay, that takes us now to the funeral on Friday afternoon. And of course, we heard so many things from so many men. I'm going to just read a few excerpts, a few pieces, a few thoughts. And this is one of the messages, one of the thoughts that Brother Randy Keyes, who was the pastor in Modesto for many years. He was a leader of leaders, he described Brother Paul Price. But also, he was a master of restoration. A master of restoration. What does that mean? When there's quarrels and differences within the church. Yes, even amongst preachers. I know it's hard to believe. What? A preacher has a difference with a preacher? Yes, we're human. Remember Paul and Peter? The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter? There were differences there, everybody. And it's the enemy's job to come in and create divisions and to separate the brethren and cause disunity. But that was one of the great traits or features one of the great things that Brother Paul Price had, to be able to restore in such a gentle manner. Yes, he was the head of the Western District during those years, but he didn't do it with pride or with arrogance. It was done with great humility. He just wanted to make sure everyone could work together. Another thought was, because of his relationship with the Lord, his anointing flowed out to us. I know that sounds a little discombobulated. Well, what does that mean? Because remember, I was just taking pieces that I heard as they were being delivered. But the message, the thought was this: because of his relationship with the Lord, because of Paul Price's relationship with the Lord, his anointing was able to flow out to us. These are preachers. These were leaders that were saying this. His anointing was able to flow out to us because of his relationship with God. And in turn, that anointing that rested upon these men, these leaders, these pastors, was also able to flow out to the people, to the churches, to the people in the churches. All right. Another thought: wisdom would flow from him in an indescribable way, or wisdom would flow from Paul Price in an indescribable manner. That's a very good way to put it. Again, if you were able to hear him and see him, you'd feel that wisdom emanate, flow out of him in his words, but also in his speech, in his communication, the way he carried himself, and was able to flow out to other people. Oh, Brother Von Morton made this comment. He had a special touch to keep us together. Again, very simple sounding statement, but listen to that. He had a special touch to keep us together. Are you seeing where this is going? It has to do with unity and keeping the brethren together, working together. And again, he was the head of the Western District for many years, and his job was just that, to keep everybody working together. Another thought that Brother Von Morton had, a very simple one-line thought: his message was Jesus. That's it. What a simple message. His message was Jesus. Doesn't sound very sophisticated, does it? Very simplistic. Oh, but how powerful and how profound. If you are able to convey Jesus in your message, you've done it all. That is our job. It's not to convey me. It's not to convey the man that's speaking, but to make sure you can get Jesus conveyed through the person who's speaking, and that was Paul Price. Another thought: he did not believe in board-run churches. Oh boy, I don't want to try to qualify or explain that one too deeply here, but he did not believe in board-run churches. In other words, he didn't believe in adding too many politics into a church. Just keep it simple. Keep it simple. Keep it Jesus. Keep it Jesus. All right. I'm going through these thoughts here, and I'm going to the next one. Oh, here's a good one. Something that he said: I want to drive the stake of truth and righteousness so deep in you that no man can pull it out. I'm going to say it again. Paul Price speaking. I want to drive the stake of, you know what a stake, you know, when you're building something, you put stakes in the ground, in the dirt. I want to drive the stake of truth and righteousness so deep into you, the listener, that no man or no thing can pull it up. Oh, how powerful is that statement? And that speaks volumes about the person of Paul Price, the man Paul Price. He was so selfless. It wasn't about him. He knew that his job was to make sure that he got enough Jesus into you, enough of the truth and the principles of the Word of God into you, that no thing or no one was going to be able to cause you to deviate from that truth. It's the Word of God. Get the Word of God in you. Get the Word of God in you so deep that no thing or no one is going to be able to change it or remove it out of you. Praise God. And I think that's about it. Oh, the last thought. Here it is. He was a peacemaker. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost just saying that. Paul Price was a peacemaker. Everyone, let's do our best to replicate, to duplicate, to emulate the qualities of this man. Again, we're not trying to glorify a man, but let's face it. Even the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. So yes, we are to follow a leader like Paul Price as he followed Christ. And let's remember one powerful thing here, one other important thing, and that is this: Paul Price was our pastor's pastor. So Pastor Clark's pastor was Elder Paul Price. And we see so many of those qualities, so many of those characteristics that were in Paul Price in our pastor. I think when I think of pastor, I think of someone who's very judicial, so diligent, what's the word, conservative, careful in all of his decision-making processes, and he's careful of the people. And that's what we saw in Paul Price, and that's what we see in our Pastor Clark. So everybody, I wanted to just make mention of that. I know not everybody could go to the funeral, and some of you were hearing it or watching it. I believe there was a live stream going on. But for those of you who are not there, who are not able to hear it or see it, I just wanted to take a moment to share that with you all. What an important legacy. And I talked to Pastor Clark about this. I just thought of it just now. And I said, you know, Pastor, after the funeral, I said, so many things, I was so fortunate to go to that funeral. And his death marks, it's a landmark in time that the death of Elder Paul Price marks. And at first I thought, that is the end of a legacy, but it is also the beginning of a legacy if we're able to pick it up, pick up that torch, and continue to carry it on. Everyone, let's do that. Let's continue to carry this legacy that Elder Paul Price has left us. All right. So I wanted to share with you very quickly the great things that took place on Friday at that funeral service with Elder Paul Price. Let's talk now about what happened last Saturday at our evangelism street service. And you know what? Once again, I want to encourage everybody, as you're hearing this tonight, if you think of something as I'm talking about this, it could be a thought, it could be a testimony, it could be even a prayer request, please send it in, text it in, and I'll be able to see it, I'll be able to read it, or we'll deal with it at the end, I'll bring it up if it's a prayer request. But I want to encourage everybody, I want this to be a dynamic, lively session. This is not just about Brother Vic talking. I want to hear other voices. This is all about you and what we are doing as a group. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. What we are doing, working together in the kingdom of God and in our church, in our community. So if there's any thoughts, any opinions, anything that you want to share, please send me the text in. And if you want to speak up, say, Brother Vic, I'm excited about something, I want to share something, I will open up your line. All right? And I mean that, everybody. I mean that. I know you know that I mean that. All right. Saturday street service. What a great time we had, again, on Saturday street service. And you know what? We are having so many people. Again, I think we had over 20 people. The heat doesn't seem to bother us, everybody. I think Brother Prime put it out there so succinctly, so well on his message a Sunday ago or so when he said, everybody, I'm excited about what's happening on our evangelism street service there on the corner of 4th and Grove. You heard him share with the church on a Sunday morning teaching. He said, I'm excited about it. You know, sometimes the door knocking can be a little bit of a different thing for some folks. And I believe in door knocking. That's how I came to church as a little boy with mama. And you all know the story. And it's the right thing. But right now, God has given us a season. And he's opened up a door of evangelism for us on that street corner. And we're taking advantage of it. And Brother Prime said it. He said, it is right. It's not hard. I actually enjoy doing it. He talked about that. And I also think he made mention about all the cars in that 30 to 45 minute span of time that were there. How many hundreds, I don't know, maybe over 1,000 or 2,000 cars that traverse that intersection, and they're forced to wait at a red light for 20, 30 seconds. And they're forced, I hate to use the word forced, but they are, they don't have a choice. They're listening to us teach, preach, testify, sing. And there's the kids and the young people and the older folks there with signs and giving out cards to the cars as they come by. And many cars have told us as they pulled into the parking lot, hey, you know, I've seen you guys 2 weeks ago, a month ago, 2 months ago, and you know what, I have a need now, and I want they're gaining confidence, they're gaining a trust and a respect in us because we've been there for now more than 4 months. What an effective form of evangelism that the Lord has given us, everybody. And that's what took place on Saturday morning. Something powerful is taking place. All right. After our Saturday morning evangelism, we decided to go out, and I hope DeAntoine is on the line, because this is the young man who started visiting us over a week ago, and he has the five children that live with him there in that little apartment there. We went out to his home Saturday at around noontime. We took some pizza, we took some drinks, we took some refreshments out there, and we were with him for a little under an hour, I believe. But it was a great time of fellowship. It was, you know, we had some food, we had some fun, but more importantly, our kids and our young people were able to meet with his children. Now, his kids are from the ages of about 7, I believe, to all the way to about 15. There's 2 girls and 3 boys. And what great kids that DeAntoine has. He's done a great job in training and giving good discipline and good lessons to these children, because it's reflected in their behavior. They're so respectful. DeAntoine, if you're on the line, you've done a great job. I know he's had a lot of challenges, and he's been open with me and several others about the challenges that he's had in life. But you know what? That is the mark of a true champion, of someone of good character. And that is, I'm talking about DeAntoine, because with all the challenges in life that he's had as a firefighter, and then having a stroke and having physical impairments and as a result of that stroke, but he's still keeping on and he's still moving forward and he's still raising these kids with all the different challenges and obstacles that he's had. And again, even as I'm saying this, boy, it's an honor for me to meet you, DeAntoine. It's an honor for us to make your acquaintance, DeAntoine, not the other way around. It's an honor to meet you and for you to grace us with your presence at our church. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, DeAntoine. I'm not just saying this to promote what we're talking about in evangelism, but I mean it. You are a blessing. And just watching you and seeing how you're able to continue to carry on in life with all of the challenges, with all of the obstacles that you've been dealt with. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost just saying that right now. And I hope you're on the line right now, DeAntoine, to hear what we're talking about. All right. So that's what happened on Saturday. It was a great time of fellowship. And then we had Sunday morning service. And, of course, we heard our pastor preach about some great things on Sunday morning, and then Brother Alcantar was with us last night, and boy, once again, he brought the fire down, and he talked about some great things about continue to strive forward, to work together in the kingdom of God, and to make sure that we're going to get to heaven, and we're going to bring many with us on the way. That's right, everyone working together. And on that note, everybody, is what I want to end on, and that is working together in unity. I'm going to go ahead and read a scripture that I felt here just before the call tonight. It's found in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. And before I do that, I got some messages. All right, Gustavo is on the call. Praise God. Brother Art, if you can text DeAntoine and make sure that he's on the call as well. I see Brother Art texted Gustavo is on the call. And we're excited about what's going on in the life of Gustavo. He was baptized last week. He started coming to church here about a week ago or so. And he's on the way to getting the Holy Ghost. This is the young man that I shared with you over 2 months ago. Came to the church in great need and desperation. But he came to the right place, and I was able to connect with him. We've been talking for the last couple of months, and now he's making other connections. And Brother Art, Brother Miguel, Brother Adam, and others. And this is another great thing, everybody. As someone comes in, let's all reach out. Let's all reach out to our new visitors, to our new converts. I know Sid and Jessica have been doing this for quite some time, and there's others who are developing that burden, that desire to connect. Boy, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. Every time I touch on evangelism and helping new people, I keep on feeling the anointing of the Holy Ghost. All right, and if anyone has any of the thoughts or comments or testimonies, feel free to text them in. Let's read from Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 6. Someone just sent a message. I'm going to read it in just a moment. But first, let's go ahead and read this. That's found in Nehemiah. I keep trying to say it in Spanish. I'm sorry, everybody. The Spanish just keeps on trying to come out. El Español. And some of you may already know what this is talking about. Here it is. Nehemiah, rebuilding the walls of the city. So built we. Everyone say we. All right, I heard it, I felt it. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Boy, I felt that, everybody. And all the wall, even rhymes nicely, doesn't it? And all the wall was joined together. Even as I read that, I've read this before many times. But even as I'm reading it, you know how you read a scripture and all of a sudden there's certain words that kind of light up in neon color, bright neon lights. All the wall was joined together. What does that represent to you, everybody? Unity, togetherness, unity. All the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. We're almost there, everybody. It's almost a full circle. We're about halfway through. Unto the half thereof. Why did this happen, everybody? Why was this wall joined together unto the half thereof? Why were we able to do this in building the wall up to the halfway point so far? And here is the reason at the very last part of the verse. For the people had a mind to work. For the people had a mind to work. It got into our minds and it got into our spirit. Even as I say that, I'm seeing, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but there are several individuals, couples, and I've talked to some of you in recent weeks, and several individuals and young people as well that are getting a hold of this vision, getting a hold of this burden and this desire to begin to work together, to grasp that spirit of evangelism, that spirit of revival that the Lord is giving to us right now. I'm going to read it one more time. So built we the wall. We built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, because the people had a mind to work. For the people had a mind to work. By the way, Sister Julie just texted something in. Amen. Praise God for our brother Gustavo. God is making a way for him. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. So let me continue on this verse. A lot is being said in this verse. Working together, building together, putting all the wall together unto the half thereof. We're not quite complete, but we're on the way. We're doing this together. And there's something that comes out, that results out of this togetherness as we begin to work together, strive together, as Brother Alcantar said last night. There is a spirit of unity. There is a culture of unity that begins to flow, because we can't build this wall alone. We can't build this building alone. I'm going to talk about me for a little bit here. I just thought of this just now when I first came into the church. Several of you know this, and I remember coming alone, and I felt alone, everybody. And I remember coming to the church late at night, and people would, the joke started up. Oh, there's Brother Vic. He's always there at midnight. What's going on there? He's always there alone, praying at midnight. And it was nothing special about me. It's not because I was very spiritual. No, it's because I just needed that much more help. I was a mess, everybody. I needed to pray every night, and I would always go there alone. But that seemed to be my way of doing it for the next period of time, months and months, and even my early years here in the church. I was always doing it alone. I just didn't want to bother anybody. I didn't want to put weight or burden on anyone else about Brother Vic. I felt like I needed to do this on my own, fix it on my own. But I began to learn after a period of time, everybody, that I needed help. Everyone needs help. Just like a Gustavo that's coming in, and praise God, he's got the several of the brothers and the sisters and couples that are coming to support him. Praise God. And others that are coming in. You know, I just seen yesterday, boy, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. Every time I begin to talk about our new ones, Arlene received the Holy Ghost. This is Christine's daughter, Arlene. And Giovanni, boy, I see something great in him. And I shared with everybody in the last week how that at the end of the altar call, I saw Giovanni marching down the side of that aisle with his family, his wife and his family in his hand. And he was walking up there with purposefulness in his steps on a mission. He had to take his family to the altar. Again, God is doing this. He's putting that desire and this burden in our new ones. And I know that there's several of you that are beginning to reach out to these new ones that are coming in. What are we doing? We're building this wall together. And as these new ones come in, we are coming in and we're supporting them. It took me a while to learn it, everybody. Let's not take a long time to learn that we've got to support our new ones that are coming in. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but I just talked to a couple in our church. Good couple. They've been here for a while. But as it turns out, the husband, I won't name him, he shared with me how that when he first came in, he felt alone. I'm going back a couple years, 2 or 3 years ago. And there was not a lot of support. But then there was one of our brothers, and then another one of our brothers that began to warm up to him, began to come close to him, and began to invite him to fellowships. And that was the big the thing that began to change his opinion about the church and to feel like this is a family. Everybody, we need to make sure that none of our new ones feel alone. Let's rally together. Let's do this together. Again, we're talking about unity. We're talking about building a wall together. Well, I want to end on this note, something exciting that happened last night. During the service, you heard Pastor Clark call out to the back. Who is that? I believe that's Brother Dave's dad. His name is Clemente. And he was with us last night. Hold on. I want to really share this, but I want to make sure I don't get any other messages from anybody. All right. I want to talk about Clemente and Brother Dave. Okay. Pastor Clark said, you know what? I believe that's Brother Dave's dad that just came into the back. And so he began to talk about that, and immediately I remembered something that happened months ago, maybe 5-6 months ago. Brother Dave told me that his dad had come by to the church, and he, you know, I wanted to meet him, and he wanted to introduce him to me and others, and for some reason I wasn't able to meet him, and I felt very badly about that. He's mainly Spanish speaking. All right. Well, this time when I knew he was there, everybody, I made sure and made a beeline to him at the end of the service. But before I could even meet him, he made a beeline to the altar with Dave. And I don't know if any of you saw it, but he began to pray at the altar. And I believe this is only a second time coming to an apostolic Pentecostal church. I may be wrong, but Brother Dave could correct us, but I think that's right. But as we came to him to pray with him, he didn't need much help. But my goodness, he raised his hands in the air. The anointing fell upon him. I think it was Sister Prime that told us yes last night. He was praying like one of us. He was praying like an apostolic at the altar. God began to touch him. He began to weep. He began to pray and cry out loud. And I thought, my goodness, does he have a Holy Ghost? If not, he's about to get it. And I felt something. And I'll share this with all of you. It's not too private here. I'll tell you, I began to feel the Lord wants to desalojar algo de él. In Spanish, desalojar means to dislodge. It's not just take something out, remove. To dislodge means something that's kind of tied in, kind of like got you bound, got you connected to you, and God wants to undo that connection and remove it, desalojar, to dislodge. Well, turns out later at the fellowship, he told me that when we came around to pray for him, he felt this fear unlocked out of him. Woo, hallelujah. Did you hear that, everybody? He felt like there was this fear, this temor, this fear that was just wrapped around his spirit, wrapped around his heart. And he couldn't loosen it. He couldn't get it off of him. But he said, as we began to pray for him, ooh, it's powerful. Prayer is powerful, everybody. As we began to pray, I'm feeling it right now. As he began to pray, Brother Prime was there, and several others were there praying with him, and he felt that fear just unlock, and the chains of that fear were broken, and it was removed out of him. And he told us one of the reasons of that fear was because his wife is in the hospital right now with a very serious case of pneumonia and other complications. I don't know that it's COVID-related, but it's pretty serious, everybody. And he's been very fearful of this, and it's caused this worry, this stress, this anxiety. Anybody familiar with that recently? With all this COVID thing that's going on, affecting our family, our friends, our close loved ones? Well, this is another example of that. And that fear, the enemy's using that situation of the COVID and other related diseases and ailments to cause fear to creep in. And it got a hold of Clemente. But praise God, he was delivered of it. Fue desalojado de ello. It was dislodged and ripped out of him last night. Boy, what a powerful thing. I hope Brother Dave is on the line tonight. If you are, Brother Dave, maybe you want to say something about that. I don't want to put you on the spot, but that'd be tremendous. Okay, so that's what happened with Clemente last night. Boy, I hope you're feeling as excited as I am just thinking about this. Everybody, we're in revival. These are the seeds, the results of our evangelism that we've been doing out there on Saturday mornings. We just sow the seed, and the Lord gives the increase in other areas of our church with our loved ones, with our family, with our family members, with people that we're close to. We're beginning to see the fruits of our labor, as Brother Prime told us. We're working out there on the street corner, but yet the Lord is giving the fruits of our labor in other areas of our families and our loved ones. Okay, I know I'm living here for a little bit regarding Clemente, Dave's dad, but let me just finish up here. So, great thing that happened at the altar, and the fear was ripped out of him, and he just had this smile of joy and peace as he's talking to us at the fellowship. And even afterward, they were out there by the truck as he was about to leave. But me and Brother Sid, we said, where did he go? He's outside. We chased him out there. We followed him out there to his truck before he left. And there was Brother Dave and his dad, and then Sid and I were talking to him. And as we're talking to him, it comes out to light that this is what Clemente said about our church, and this is a compliment, everybody. This is a compliment to all of you, to our church. Listen to this. And I hope I'm not really, you know, messing up or changing too much what he said. Brother Dave, if you're on the call, you can clarify it. But it went something like this in Spanish. He said, you know what? I can feel the love of God in your people. And I can feel this unity. I could feel this unity in your church. In the love that I'm feeling coming from the people to me, I feel this unity in the people. I'm probably kind of destroying what he said, but I hope you're getting the gist of what I'm talking about. He felt the love when the people came to him, praying with him. And afterward, there were several that came to him in the fellowship hall, and they were talking with him. And you probably saw that big smile of joy on his face. Praise God. And he said, I felt the love of God, and I felt the unity in the people of the church and in your church. This is a great church. Oh, and the other thing that he said was this. You see, after Brother Dave told me, Brother Vic, this afternoon I was ironing my shirt. Brother Dave was ironing his shirt. And he said, I thought of calling my dad. Dad, you need to come to church. He felt like calling him. And he felt prompted, and I believe it was the Holy Ghost was prompting him to do that, and he did it. And his dad answered it. It was about 4:30, 5 o'clock. And his dad said, you know what, Dave, I'm not doing anything tonight. I'm going to go. Just like that, he made the decision, I'm going to go to church, to your church tonight, Dave. And he told us that as soon as he pulled into the parking lot of our church, everybody listened to this. I know there's some of you that have told me that several people have told you this as well. He said, as soon as I pulled into the parking lot of your church, I felt the power of God. I felt the presence of God. I felt something special just pulling into your parking lot. Everybody, I hope you're hearing everything that we're talking about tonight. This is not just one person that's doing this. This is all of us that are working together. We're praying together. We're building this wall together because we have a mind to work. We have a mind to work at the altar by going and praying at the church here. Every day you should see that prayer book. It's full every day. We have a mind to work when we come faithfully to the house of God, to each service night that is open. We have a mind to work when we go out to that street corner on the corner of 4th and Grove on our street evangelism service. And we have a mind to work when we go out on visitation to visit these people that have need. Everybody, God is doing the work, and he's giving us the fruit of our labor. Boy, this is a reason to be excited. I hope you're feeling this. I hope you're hearing this, and I hope you're receiving all of this, everybody. Praise God. Here we got a message from San Diego. It says, what a blessing this Monday devotional has been for me in San Diego. Okay, and she says she invited Mike in Texas, Art in Orange County. Praise God. That's some of my brothers that are outside of the state of California and in Southern California and in Anaheim. That's what Mama's talking about. Everybody, this has been great tonight, not because I've been talking about it, but because of the testimonies that we're talking about. This is God working through you, God working through us, because we have a mind to work. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, with that said, everybody, I hope you've enjoyed this. I hope you've received something good out of this, and we look forward to seeing everybody on Wednesday night. Let's continue to pray faithfully the way that we've been praying. Let's continue to have that mind to work, and let's continue to welcome our new ones, everybody, those that are beginning to come in. Make sure you reach out to them and pray for that burden and that desire if you don't have it yet, but it's on its way. We are all going to be on the same page, and we're going to continue to build that wall beyond the halfway point. We're going to build it full circle, that entire wall, everybody together. Praise God. All right, everyone, God bless you in the name of Jesus. Oh, Sister Helen sent a message here at the very end. Very good, Bro Vic. Well, very good, all of you that have been working together. Thank you, Sister Helen. God bless you all in the name of Jesus. Praise God.